Well, good morning again. A few weeks ago, we talked about who moved my cheese. And that was about dealing with change. You know, change is an inevitable thing, and it happens in our daily lives. For those of y'all remember last week, I had quite a bit more hair on top of my head. I finally got it cut, a little more manageable. But this morning, I would like to continue with some changes that we find that occur in the Bible. We have all heard of some strange names in our lives, and we will continue to run across them from time to time. You know, some famous people, actors and actresses, sometimes they change their names. You know my name, Jarzembeck. Boy, that'd make a headliner for a movie, wouldn't it? But we're not always going to have the same name that we have now. We turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. We'll see. It states, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." Someday we will have a new body and a new name to fit that glorified body. If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, states, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We will have a new name. We don't know what our new name will be. Have you ever wondered? Maybe it'll be a name that'll match your character. How about Doc? The Hebrew word for thin may not fit me. Or Trichinos, the Greek word for hairy. Or Kalos, the Greek word for beautiful. I think our new name will reflect our position as a child of God. When a child gets adopted, sometimes they get a new name. And when we get to heaven, our adoption will be complete, and we will get a new name. We turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 23. We can see it states, "Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even when we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Meanwhile, God has given us a new name to tide us over. We find that in the latter part of Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And that's where it states, "And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." Now, when they were first called Christians, it wasn't exactly said in a very nice way. It was condemning and degrading. It was a name of scorn and ridicule. It was said with a sneer. Of course, it means a follower of Christ. You know, the criminal, the executed one, the blasphemer, the imposter. Today, it would be like being called a Judas, or even Osama bin Laden. However, followers of Christ were proud of that name and title. They later adopted it for themselves. They began to call themselves Christians with pride. It's a title, a name given to us when we're saved. On several occasions, God changed the names of certain select people. And there was a reason and a lesson in doing so. God wants us to see that we need to claim the name that He has given us, Christian. Are you proud to be called a Christian? Do you live up to that name? When God changed a name, He had a reason. He wanted them to live up to their new name, just as He wants us to live up to our new name, Christian. I'm going to review four examples in the Bible where God changed people's names. First, we find in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 5 and 15 through 16, we find a change of faith. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations." Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." It seems like Abram and Sarah were misnames from the very beginning. Abram means exalted father, yet he had no children. Sarah means my princess, yet she had no heirs. They had no children, and they both were in their elder years. This was not humanly possible. But as we just heard from Genesis, one day God told Abram that He was going to change his name. Of course, maybe we can hear Abram saying, "Thank you, Lord. You know, I get kidded so much for my name, Exalted Father. I don't have any children. You know, just the other day, a stranger came up to me on his camel and asked me for my name. And then I told him. And he said, 'Well, how many children do you have?' And he answered, 'None.' The guy walked away laughing until he was out of sight. Thank you for changing my name. But what are you going to change it to? A car, which means barren? It would be so much more appropriate." But of course, as we read, we know God told Abram, "No, instead of Abram, I'm changing it to Abraham, father of a multitude. And I'm changing your wife's name to Sarah, the princess of many." I can just see Abraham saying, "Oh no, Lord. Why don't you just leave well enough alone?" So why did God do this to Abram? Why change his name like that? God had a lesson for him. Abraham, I have given you a promise of many children. I am Almighty God. Trust in me, and I will do the impossible. Claim that name, Abraham. Live up to your new name, and you will see that I live up to mine. And with their new names came a new commitment, a new test of faith. And when Abram accepted his new name from God, he displayed his trust in God. There was a new need to put his faith in the Almighty God, in his power and his faithfulness. And God is telling us today, your new name, Christian, will forever reflect my power and faithfulness. Now we can look back and see Abraham as the father of the Jewish nation. You and I have a new name, and he is showing us in the name Christian that he is still the God of the impossible, the God of power and might. We are to claim that name. We are to live up to that name. And as we do, we will see God live up to his name. I am the Almighty God. Now, second, if we turn to Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 28, we're going to find a change of plans. In chapter 32, verse 24 through 28 states, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. He wrestled with him, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. We find that Jacob means trickster, schemer, conniver, someone that likes to trip people up. He even tricked his own brother into trading his birthright for a bowl of chili. He deceived his aging father, Isaac, into granting him his final blessing, which Isaac had meant for Esau. He lived with his uncle Laban for 20 years, and each one of them tried to out-trick each other. And Jacob had just about met his match. Jacob lived up to his name, trickster, schemer, conniver. But God had said something else planned for Jacob. Jacob was used to doing things his own way, making his own plans, being his own boss, scheming to get what he wanted. It always got him into trouble. But God had better things planned for Jacob. In order to accomplish these things in his life must change. God started by changing his name. Then he said, claim that name, live up to that name. Jacob means trickster, but now you shall be called Israel, which means the prince and power of God. Jacob, you are now going to do things God's way, because you are the prince and power of God. No more scheming. No longer the prince and power of Jacob. Why do we always think our way is better than God's way? Why do we plan and scheme and make decisions and direct our own life without considering God and His plans? For we read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it states, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Now, after Jacob became Israel, we see his life change. He faced up to the results of his scheming life, and he got things straightened out with Esau. He fathered many sons who are to this day known as the children of Israel, not Jacob. We also know them as the 12 tribes of Israel. His life was changed when he had a change of masters, a change of plan, and let God direct his life. And now we also have a new name, Christian, a follower of Christ. And we need to claim that name, live up to that name, and follow Him, not our own plans and schemes. When we do, we will see God bless us. And if we don't, we will see our life in shambles, like Jacob. Third, we find in John chapter 1, verses 38 to 42, we're going to see about a change of character. Again, in John 1, verses 38 to 42, states, "Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?' And he said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated "a stone." We find Simon, which means to make a noise or a loud mouth. Now Simon was like a bull in a china shop, a blowhard, a loud mouth. Do you know anyone like this? He tried to talk Jesus out of going to Jerusalem. And Jesus told him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Simon, you're making too much noise. You're full of hot air." Now Simon promised Jesus at the Last Supper that he wouldn't forsake him, though everybody else would. Simon made a big noise, yet he denied Jesus 3 times. He lived up to his name. It's like the man who went by the name of Tex. Somebody asked him if he was from Texas. He answered that he was from Louisiana, but who wants to be called Luis? Now we see a change in Simon when Jesus changed his name from Windbag to Peter, a.k.a. Cephas, which means a rock. And after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter took charge of the frightened and faltering disciples. Peter fearlessly preached the news of the resurrection on the streets of Jerusalem for all to hear. Peter was the leader in the early church, a missionary statesman, a martyr for the cause of Christ. This was a great change for Peter. He claimed his name. He lived up to that name. We also have a new name, Christian, a follower of Christ. Now, Peter went from being a windbag to a preacher of the gospel. Simon became a rock, standing hard and fast for Christ. You also have a name to claim. Let's claim it. Let's live up to it. Let's plant our feet and faith on that name, the solid rock. Last, we'll find in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, we will come across a change of opinion. And we see in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Paul, before he was saved, was called Saul. Now, Saul had persecuted the church. He killed and imprisoned numerous Christians. That was his mission when he was on the road to Damascus. Saul is the Jewish name for asked. What Saul asked for and demanded, he got. He was feared and respected by the Jewish leaders. He was a man of influence and power. But God had a new name in mind for Saul, for a new job he had for him. God changed his name to Paul, which means little. That will sure humble you. Saul didn't have any room for Jesus in his life. He thought he could live his own life with his own power and strength. God had to cut him down to size for him to use Saul. The most humbling moment was he even blinded him. Now, Saul had to see that Jesus is more important than anything else in the world. His opinion about himself and Jesus had to change. His self had to be crucified. Christ had to be put up on the throne. God gave him a new name to claim: Paul. It was a name he had to live up to, and he did. As we see in Ephesians 3, chapter 8, this is what we hear he says. This is what Paul says about himself after his name change. To me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Jesus became foremost. Paul became insignificant. That's why we can see the greatness of Paul, because he saw the greatness of Christ. We also have a new name, Christian, a follower of Christ. It should reflect our weaknesses and his strengths. It is a name that we must live up to, a name that we must claim. Now, in conclusion, God specifically and specially selected only a few to bear a new name in the Bible. You know, we heard about Abraham and Sarah, how they changed from a weak faith to a strong faith. Claim it. Live up to it. And then we learned about Jacob becoming Israel. He went from trickster to the prince and power of God, changing his plans to God's plans. Claim it. Live up to it. Third, we had heard about Simon, who became Peter. He went from loudmouth to rocky, changing his instability to a rock. Claim it. Live up to it. And then last, we heard about Saul, who became Paul. from a demander to little. Changing his exalted opinion of himself to his exalted opinion of Christ. Claim it. Live up to it. We have a new name at this time. Christian. A follower of Christ. From a vile, unregenerated sinner to a child of God. God has a purpose in changing our name. So you can claim it. You can live up to it. Along with this name comes a responsibility. Along with that name comes the power of God. Let's do it. Let's be proud of that name. Let's make him proud that he gave us that name. Jesus says, "You have my name." Let's make sure we give honor to that name. The name which is above all names. The name of Christ. Now we come to a time, if there's anyone out there who may not have accepted that name Christian, there's an opportunity to confess your faith. State that you believe Christ is the Son of the living God. And then be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. And as we sing our invitation song, if anybody would like to accept that offering, please come forward.